This conversation is brought to you by foodpowers.com. One person's food is another person's poison. My name is Narissa Oden, creator of foodpowers.com. It's highly likely that the foods in your pantry are at the root of your frequent health problems. Do you suffer from headaches, fatigue, hay fever, digestion issues, depression, or irritability? I suffered with all those and more for decades. I took a simple blood test that told me to stop eating salmon, broccoli, olive oil, and other everyday foods. And to my amazement, my ailments disappeared in days. Today, I control my health. It does not control me. You can experience better health too. Just stay tuned as my guests and I share jaw-dropping stories of triumph over food powers. This podcast is for sharing personal information and opinions only and should not replace professional medical advice or care. This podcast is protected by copyright. Hi, and thank you for joining me. This is Narissa Oden of foodpowers.com. And today I'm speaking to Matthew Dixon. And Matthew Dixon is a guitarist, flamenco guitarist, and guitar teacher. And you can find him at Guitar Monks, GUITARMONKS.com. And he's got some fantastic basic guitar products on GuitarMonks.com. Welcome, Matthew. Thanks for talking to me today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Narissa.
Now, I understand that you have had a food sensitivity test, and I'm curious, what was the motivating factor to get that test? What was going on?
Basically I was getting to a point where I was feeling like I was very lethargic, I didn't have a lot of energy, and I was having a lot of suffering with sinus issues, and it seemed like seasonal allergies, especially bad, living here in Texas. They have something called cedar fever that comes up that actually I would physically get a fever from and just feel awful. And I was trying to find ways to basically get rid of that, and I started noticing that depending on what I ate had a lot to do with how I was feeling and how I was reacting to things. So when the food allergy testing was recommended, I thought this is probably the best way to go to find out. At least I would know what was causing my sensitivity so that I could get rid of it, so my immune system would be strong enough to battle off and help me in my everyday situations.
Got it. So how long, what other things did you try, and how long had you been dealing with this, your whole life, or just when you moved to Texas, or...?
It changed a lot when I moved to Texas. I was born in Southern California and was there for the first 30 years of my life, and then moved here, and dealing with so many different pollens that weren't there, is going back to that cedar fever problem, I recognized right away something was completely different. There were things that got better, too, as far as because I went to a more humid climate. I wasn't as dry all the time. I used to get a lot of migraines from the dryness when I lived in Southern California.
Okay, and had you gone to allergy doctors? Were you taking over-the-counter medicine all the time?
I hadn't. I was taking over-the-counter medicine all the time. I was basically living on Sudafed. Happened to do that. But I didn't really go to any specialists at all. The only thing I had kind of started with was I had had my daughter, because she was having a lot of eczema issues and rash problems. She was three when we started her. We heard about a treatment called Nate, and we tried Nate for quite a while with her. And honestly, I wasn't very happy with the outcome of that. I didn't see the progress that I thought I was going to see. It just seemed like an ongoing battle that we just kept going and nothing ever got better. They always seemed to be able to tell what was causing the problem, but after they would do their testing and clearing for it, it never actually solved the problem.
Okay. And the NAET method, N-A-E-T, I believe, is the acronym for that, if anybody wants to look that up. And so you decided to go ahead and try the food sensitivity test first, And I'm curious, what did it say that you were sensitive to?
Okay. Well, I have my list here in front of me. I can just tell you.
Okay.
Tell you some of them. Red beets, berries, Brazil nuts, sprouts, bucket wheat, blue cheese, cherries, cranberries, dates, flaxseed, hazelnut, kiwi, lime, mango, milk from goats, millet, red peppers, plums, radishes, rosemary, trout, vanilla bean, white fish, all the barley, cashews, cheddar cheese, cottage cheese, Swiss cheese. Chicken was one that I was really surprised, and I eat a lot of chicken, so I've had to change that. Coffee, corn, crab, egg whites and egg yolks, so basically no eggs. Gluten, malt, cow's milk, peanuts, pineapple, pork, rye, salmon, soy, soybeans, tomatoes, tuna, turkey, black walnuts, wheat, yeast, baker's yeast, and that's it. That's the little list.
Wow. Well, that's quite a list.
Yeah. When I got it back, it was kind of shocking. I thought, oh, great, I'm not going to eat anything.
Right. And so, you know, how are you doing now? Because I think it's been a couple months. And so when you stopped eating those things, you know, what happened?
Well, there was almost instantaneous results as far as the very first thing I recognized was my energy level just became tremendous. It was especially noticeable, you know, like within the first 3 days, I was just like, wow, this is totally different. I felt like a totally different person. I had a lot more focus and clarity when I was working. I wanted to do more things because I had the energy to do it. And one of the things, I actually started doing some cardio workout, which I'd been wanting to do, but I just never seemed to. I could maybe do a day or two of it, and I would start to feel wiped out. And I would worry about when I start to feel really wiped out that I would get sick, because in the past that's what would happen if I just kept pushing myself through. But with having the energy gain, I was able to start doing that. I also lost, the amazing thing was I lost 15 pounds in the first week.
15? See, I think that is amazing too, but you're pretty tall, right?
Yeah, I am. And then I lost 10 more pounds the next week.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
So I lost a total of 25 pounds.
In 2 weeks.
And it stayed off. It's completely stayed off.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that I've stuck completely to the diet. I've definitely slipped. I mean, there are times, and you do notice it, though. You notice it almost 2 days later, I think, is that right? Is that the, I'm trying to think of it now, but it seems like almost 2 days later, perfectly, I would feel the hit of something if I was kind of sliding off too much.
Well, the rule of thumb is that, you know, everybody is sensitive to different things and their sensitivities affect them differently. And so the timing of the sensitivities can happen. They typically happen within 3 days. So if yours are happening, you know, seeing noticeable changes physically on the second day, then yours are, you know, a lot of yours are occurring on the second day.
The other thing that I stopped having was I would quite frequently wake up in the middle of the night with just a splitting headache, usually over my right eye, sometimes in the middle of my head, but so painful to the point where I would go and have to sleep sitting up in the recliner. And what that would do is, I think it had to do with my sinuses, just the pressure would relieve. But because I'd been laying down, I would usually wake up around 3 o'clock and have this headache. Those are completely gone away. I don't have that anymore.
That's awesome. So, and how's the cedar fever?
Oh, that's the other thing. That was actually the next thing I was going to talk about was, I went through that whole season and had absolutely no effects from the cedar. and I watched everybody else around me, you know, getting sick and having problems. And it seems to affect people differently. Some people lose their voice, and some actually get the fever feel like I did. Sometimes I would lose my voice also. I had zero effects, went through, and it was perfectly fine. So that was another great bonus. The other thing was I started sleeping better at night, which I think also helped me have more energy. My wife says that my snoring decreased dramatically. And I've never been tested for it, but I think I have a little bit of the, I can't even think of what it's called now, when you're sleeping at night and you snore and you wake yourself up, sleep apnea. I've never been tested, but my wife says, you know, man, you sound like, you know, you're got a chainsaw going.
Yeah.
So, but has decreased quite a bit, so.
Wow. So you've lost 25 pounds in the first 2 weeks alone. You've kept it off. It's been about 2 months, 2.5 months.
We're coming on to almost 3 months now. Yeah.
Almost 3 months?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're sleeping better. Skipped the cedar fever season when traditionally you had been subjected to that. You still taking over-the-counter medications?
No. Oh, that's the other thing. I'm not taking the Sudafed.
So you're off the over-the-counter medications, and do you have any interesting symptoms that show up, like if you eat the berries or something, or you eat, gluten? It's been about 3 months, are you able to correlate?
One of the hardest things for me is to not have bread, So when I seem to eat a lot of anything with a lot of yeast or wheat, I become very lethargic. And I start to, that really kills my energy flow real fast.
Got it. And then are you able to work out now? The cardiovascular workout?
I'm still maintaining my workout, yeah.
And so are you still getting tired by doing the cardiovascular workouts?
No, I have the energy to do it, and I want to do it. I'm ready to go. I tend to have more energy in the morning, too. I wake up feeling more alert, where my mornings used to take forever to get going. I would have to go and get coffee and drink my coffee.
Yeah.
Kind of slug around the house for a half hour trying to get stuff done. And now it's more like, you know, it's just kind of, you know, you wake up and you're turned on and you're going. And I usually go, first thing I do is go down and just drink a bunch of water.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, one of the things that I had noticed is that, I had seen a dietitian first before I had my test, and they were wanting me to, you know, keep exercising and walk the dog more and exercise more. And exercising at that time, for me, it would just take the energy out of me. And if I went and walked the dog for 20 minutes, you know, just in regular sun temperature, you know, I'd come back and I'd have to, like, lay down and just sit and veg and recover for about an hour before I could go work at my computer. And, you know, and that is, the dietitian didn't catch that, but that is not normal.
Right, you know? That's exactly how it would be for me. I would try and I would be so tired, and I would actually, then I would, you know, because you want to get into a routine. You go, okay, I'm going to do this at least 3 days a week, or I'm going to try and do it every day. And I would start doing it, and I would force myself to do it. And then I would just feel this exhaustion come on so great that I knew, you know, if I keep going, I'm just going to get sick.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be completely shut down and be in bed, and, you know.
Right. And that's a perfect example of, you know, how I see, you know, what I've learned and how I've experienced for myself, how your immune system works. Your immune system, because you were eating all these foods that were, you know, suppressing your immune system, and then you'd go work out, which requires your immune system to be healthy. And then you go work out and you're suppressing your immune system even more by working out. You know, you're pushing your body to the edge, and it makes you makes you more tired. It's like when exercising, for people who are listening, and if exercising just makes you extremely tired and you need to go sleep or sit down for it, you know, that is a sign that your immune system is maxed out and your body is trying to tell you slow down. So anyway, I get off my soapbox for now.
You know, the other thing that I found too is, like I said, when I do go off off schedule a little bit because it's, I mean, I started this in the beginning of December and was heading right into all the holiday parties and New Year's, and it was like, oh boy, I'm going to miss out on, you know, my wife makes this fudge once a year that I love and I'm not going to get any, you know, and I held pretty good. But at times when I do get down, I notice that when I'm really exhausted, I want to eat bad foods. And the more bad food I eat, and when I say bad food, I mean like junk food, like really bad, you know, getting McDonald's or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the more I eat that food, the more I want that food, and the worse I feel. And the worse I feel, the more I want the bad food. And I know the bad food is making me feel bad, but it's also making me want it more for some reason. It's really, really kind of odd. And I know when I'm really feeling bad, it's like, okay, hey, just let's get back on here. Look, you know why you're feeling bad. You know, you went and ate cheeseburgers yesterday and, you know, and pizza for dinner that night. So just get back into what you're supposed to be doing, and then it comes back, and then you feel good.
Yeah, and that's
for me anyway.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you and have you share your story is, you know, there are people like Joe who can just, you know, okay, I'm not eating berries or gluten, you know, for 3 months, you know, which is the recommended way to do it so that your sensitivities can heal. There are people who have really strong willpower like that, but I would say that most of us, including me, don't have that kind of willpower to do that. You know,
because yeah,
I mean, you combine willpower, of course, with, you know, being busy and things to do and what's available for you to, you know, run in and get real quick for your lunch and for a snack. But it's very hard to stay on. And so what one of the things I'm hearing from your story is even though that you fall off the wagon, so to speak, and you indulge in the foods that are on the list that you shouldn't have, you are feeling the effects and you get back on the wagon. So it's like you know how to self-correct and you know how to feel better as with before when you were medicating yourself, you were more like a victim of the pollens and the season.
Yeah, and I also I would have to guess. I mean, I was playing around with it. I wasn't sure. You know, I kind of knew breads were a problem, but I didn't know exactly why or should I be going and eating, you know, gluten-free, you know, or what I should do. Now at least I know what's on the list, and I've come up with a, you know, I have meals that I make that I know are good for me to have.
And is that, you know, I know that you were worried about that at the beginning. Oh, my God, I can't eat anything. So are you, which was my first thought, too. Oh, my God, I can't eat anything. What am I going to eat, you know?
What was kind of nice about actually looking at what I could eat was I actually got to start eating some things that I had stayed away from because – prior to all of this, my diet, I would try to stay fairly low carb. And that's why I said, like, I eat a lot of chicken. So there were things like, hey, I can have a baked potato. I was like, okay. Well, I normally wouldn't sit down and eat a baked potato. Like, usually when we would have, like, steaks, I'd get a filet. We would make something else to go along with it, you know, steamed vegetables or something. And I would never get to have a baked potato with my steak like I used to. And now I look at that and I go, okay, I can have the potato. I just can't have the sour cream and the butter on it. But I've gotten to where I actually like the potatoes better. I cut up some red bell pepper, and then I put some onion in there, and then I cook some green peas, and I put it all in the potato with a little salt and pepper, and there you go.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like it actually tastes better.
Yeah.
Well, we've only got a couple more minutes. Was there anything that you wanted to share that you haven't shared already?
I don't think so, other than I encourage this to everybody now, just to know what it is half the battle, I think. And it was so easy to find out. You know, they just do the little test, and then you could get the prints back, and it's like, great. You know, it's kind of a little blueprint for your personal body that you now get to know what is harming you. So I recommend it to everybody.
Yeah, it's like the cheat sheet. You don't have to try to figure it out anymore, which,
yeah.
You know, and if foods are affecting you 2 days later, how are you going to figure that out, you know?
Yeah.
And so about how much did your test cost? What kind of test did you get? Did you get the Alcat, ELISA, MRT?
Oh, boy, that's a good question.
Okay.
All I know is I did the 200-panel test.
Okay. Well, I can tell everybody. He did the ELISA test.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, ELISA. Okay, I can see it now.
Which is a...
I just pulled the test to look at it here. The ELISA, yes.
And so you got the kit for $10 at foodallergy.com.
Yeah.
You took that kit into a clinic that had already had a history of honoring those kits and running those, drawing your blood and sending it off for you. And then you picked up your test results. And so, you know, I've calculated the total amount that in that routine that someone had to spend, which is like the cheapest way to get the test. It's not always the most convenient because not every clinic or doctor will honor a test that you buy off the internet. But I think it costs about $150. Does that sound right? Total.
Yeah. Well, I think it was.
Oh no, yours was like $250.
It was two. I decided to go in. I don't like having blood drawn anyway, so I thought if I'm going to go ahead and do this, I'm going to go for the bigger panel so that I can see everything and just do it in one shot. Because I figured, you know, if I do the first one and just do 100, there's going to be some things that I'm going to miss. I thought I want to know everything.
Yeah. Okay, so you did the 200 food panel.
Yeah.
And so that was an extra $100. So, okay, so your cost was about $250, which is, you know, I mean, that is really affordable considering what you've gotten out of it. And, you know,
I can't
thank you enough, Matthew, for sharing your story with us. And I want to remind everybody again that you can find out more about Matthew at guitarmonks.com, GUITARMONKS.com, where he sells basic guitar products or lessons that are instant downloads, ebooks, and videos. And then you also have Matthew Dixon, which is spelled MATHEWDIXON.com, which I have to say, Matthew, I think you've got one of the best Christmas CDs out there with your, what's it called? The music only, instrumental.
Instrumental Christmas, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's awesome. So thank you again. I appreciate it. And, everybody, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
This conversation is brought to you by foodpowers.com. Thank you for listening.